Hey everyone, welcome to episode 469.
Oh, really?
We're getting close. 500 is on the horizon of This Is Whole Life. And of course, if you are a longtime listener, you already know the score. But if you're joining us maybe for the first time, this is the podcast of the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida, where every week we get together and we discuss the topics or topic, foodie. You never know exactly where it's going to go. This week, we are missing two important people because as we ascertained last week, there was only one really smart person on the panel. And so that was Melanie. And Now Melanie and Ken are both gone. So we don't worry. I hear you. I know what you're saying. It's only Randy and Lucas. What's going to happen? No. We went and we found another really smart person that we could have on this week. So your questions, as you're thinking about things, don't worry. You'll be fine. We're good. So I'd like to introduce, it's first time on the podcast for Amanda Maygard.
Yes.
And she is the president and CEO of Advent Health Celebration, correct?
That's right.
That is awesome. One quick question for foodies. Have you ever on your way to work been like, I am really hungry? I'm going to go in early and I'm going to stop by Maple Street Biscuits.
Oh, I have never been there for breakfast. I have been there for lunch.
Okay.
And the biscuits at lunch, I imagine, are just as delicious as they are at breakfast. But that now you've planted a seed. I may have to do that this next week.
I'm just saying, you know, if the eggs, the biscuits, the everything, they put them over the top of the, oh man.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's, and their orange juice, fresh squeeze, you know, they fresh squeeze the orange juice, and actually their coffee's not so bad for just, you know, run of the mill, you know, getting coffee somewhere. So that's good too.
That sounds amazing. Now you've planted that seed.
Stop being, I promise it's worth it. So let's, for those that are listening, they've never heard you here before. They may not know you. Tell us a little bit about Amanda.
So I work in healthcare. I would say my most important jobs, though, are as a wife and a mom. Mm. So my husband, Michael, and I will celebrate our 21st wedding anniversary this next month.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we have two boys, ages 8 and 11, Griffin and Landry.
Two boys.
Yeah, two boys. We're big football fans. I can get along with anyone because I'm a Cowboys fan and they are all Washington Commanders fans. So football time in our house is always interesting and filled with trash talk. I am always ganged up on and on the losing end of it. I love all things Disney and just exercise and activity. So those are some things about Amanda.
Well, I love it that you're a Cowboys fan.
I am.
We shipped our head coach to you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's our new head coach? See, I don't keep up with it in the off season. My husband tells me all the bad news.
Still,
so.
I don't think you, I don't know. I guess it depends on how you see it, fortunate or unfortunate. I think he's still there, Mike McCarthy.
He's out.
Is he out?
He's out.
Did they toss him?
Yep. He's gone.
Man, I haven't been paying attention.
Well, we haven't been paying attention, too. Yeah.
I don't remember who, this is terrible. I shouldn't admit it. I don't remember who our new head coach is, but it's been a depressing last few years.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well, it was before McCarthy left for us too in Green Bay. So
maybe there's a trend.
Maybe. Could be. See, Amanda knows sports. I get this. All right. We're going to get along great here. All right. Before we get into this week's message, which was brought to us by Amanda, an anonymous person who texted in this week said, and they are also subscriber to our newsletter, said, I feel like the podcast has been falsely advertised.
Uh-oh.
It states that every Wednesday, but yet Ken wasn't there last Wednesday. So, I guess we're going to have to start thinking about the newsletter when one of us is going to be missing from the show that we prepare people that, because if you're tuning in for just Ken, well, this will be 2 weeks in a row that you're disappointed.
They are really paying attention to the details, man.
I'm avid
fans.
Yeah.
It's, they don't miss a beat. And then they said, I did learn a new word this Wednesday used by Dr. Melanie, and I've added books to a read list that I will never get through because I don't read as I should. And the word was, any guesses?
Oh.
From last week?
No clue.
Homiletics.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. So I guess we didn't actually explain it because, I feel a little bit smarter because no one had to explain it to me when we talked about it.
Oh, you're a smart guy.
So thank you, Anonymous. Man, I'm going to have to talk. I know who it is, but I'm not. He said we just need to keep it as mysterious. As mysterious, a dear mysterious listener. We'll have a conversation about this later because that's funny. So this week, our message was, what is God inviting you to bring to him in prayer? And the first thing I thought about when you were running after the kite, mm-hmm. I was like, what kind of kite was it? Was it a, you know, strawberry shortcake? Was it a Dallas Cowboys?
Well, since it got away from me, maybe it was a Cowboys kite. You know, I don't, my memory is probably not that good because what stuck with me about that experience was God answering my prayer, but I'm sure it must have been a brightly colored, fun, vibrant kite.
Which is the most important part of the story that you remember. So yeah, that's good. Lucas, did you have a kite growing up?
Oh, a lot. My dad used to build those for me.
What?
Aww, yeah. Come on. How cool. Uh-huh.
So what was your favorite kite?
Oh, man. They were all very simple. You know, we used to grab, you know, the paper bag, the bags when you go to do groceries. Uh-huh. My dad used to use that to do the tail of the kite. I don't know how you say it here.
Yeah. No, that's right.
So, yeah. And we used to do it the colors of our soccer team.
Oh, so, man.
Yeah, that's the memories that I have with kites.
I thought my first kite was a Star Wars kite.
Oh.
Which I don't know why. That's good. I was allowed to have a Star Wars kite because we weren't allowed to go see it in the movie theater. All my friends had seen it. I was, what, Star Wars first one came out 77, I think. So I'd have been 6. Ooh. And, you know, I mean, living in the Midwest, the guardian angels left you in the parking lot, all that kind of stuff. So we didn't get to go to actually see the movie. But I knew it was cool because all of my friends had the action figures, the Millennium Falcon. They had all the cool toys, the Darth Vader with the little push arm saber, the lightsaber. Uh-huh. Come on, you know. So I knew it was cool, but that was my first kite.
That's awesome.
It lasted for quite a while.
Did your guardian angel stay with you while you flew that kite?
I think they did. I think they did because I think we've all had your experience also in dropping it and going, oh, no. And you hope it's when the wind is just a tiny little and you're running after the string on the ground. So I only remember dropping mine once and my dad was next to me and was like, you can't just let it go. And I'm like, what?
Well, no.
You know, they're trying to like teach you a lesson and you're trying to not cry because your kite is almost gone and you don't really get it. But yeah.
I'm glad it wasn't just me.
No. Lucas, I know we have a question.
Yeah.
At least one. And so we're going to start with that because Amanda came out hard and strong with, prayer is a complicated topic, and there are many questions that I don't have the answer to. And I'm not sure you don't, but we'll assume that you're telling us the truth there. Things like, why does God answer yes to some, no to others? What do I do when God is silent? Like, we're not going to talk about those today, but we did have one that was in that vein.
We had two, actually.
Let's attack those right away.
Yeah. So the first one was from an anonymous source. And they said, Amanda mentioned that nothing is impossible, nothing that he cannot remedy. So how come he does not answer certain prayers?
Mm-hmm. But instead of the how come he doesn't, I would rather focus, though, because I think we can say we don't know that mm-hmm. answer. We just don't. But from your experience, what gives you confidence? Or confidence to say that there's nothing he can't do?
Yeah.
And if asking is the avenue.
Yeah. You know, I think it boils down to, do you believe that God can do anything? Is he all powerful?
Mm.
I believe that he is and that he can do anything. Does he always answer it in the way that we think? No.
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to the example I talked about with Job. Mm. You know, there was all those things happening behind the scenes in the story of Job. And so Job doesn't know that.
Right.
And he probably won't until someday when he's in heaven and God can explain why. And even in reading Job's story, I don't think we fully understand why God allowed that to happen.
Yeah.
But he did. And, you know, what I love about Job's story is then the restoration that happened. And he still had trauma from that. You know, I'm sure Job in modern day language had PTSD.
Oh, yeah.
But his example, I guarantee, helped bring others to God, right?
Sure.
And so I do believe God is all powerful and he can do anything. That doesn't mean he does answer those prayers in a way we think he should. And I truly don't think we'll know why while we're here on this earth. And that's where that element of faith, you know, and some of it is blind faith comes in.
And you use John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Mm-hmm. So just those last three words, he hears us, gives, I mean, it's one of those things you have to use as faith and you have to use it as a building block to say, okay, and then trust that when the good things happen and they are answered, because we've all had those, then we have to be able to just put those two together and go, that's right. So this is a good, this is one that gets answered. Let's just remember that one and let that bolster our faith maybe a little.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And then we had another one that was in the same vein. Let's attack that one too.
The second one came from Matthew. So he said, do you think human beings will be happier if God answered every prayers? Would our satisfaction bring us closer to God or distant?
You know, I almost think of that from a parental perspective. You know, I shared, I have two boys, ages 8 and 11. And would they be happier ultimately if I said yes to everything they asked for? Sometimes I don't think they realize the impact of, I know they don't always understand the impact of everything that they're asking for. And it, even though sometimes those things might bring short-term satisfaction, like that ice cream cone, maybe in the long term, is that going to bring long-term satisfaction? No. So and that's difficult because we're seeing things through our lens, and sometimes we're seeing it just in the present moment, where God, who's all-powerful and all-knowing, is seeing both short-term and long-term and impact to others around us. So I would say the answer is no, as painful as that can be when you get that no.
Yeah, I think that short-term, and maybe now more than ever, I mean, you talk about Job and you also talked about Joseph and these stories that happened thousands of years ago. And I feel like in today's world, like what would someone in their shoes feel like today, just being thrown in time travel, throw to today, and with the schedules that we keep, the compartmentalized time that we chop into pieces every day for, you know, family, work, and then, you know, tasks and just everything. And that immediate yes is so easy to want and to be disappointed when it doesn't happen. But then also in that same thing, if he hears us and trusting that whatever he says, doesn't say, speaks, doesn't speak, silence, opens doors, closes doors, whatever that is, that there also has to be a trust that, like Moses.
Yes.
I mean, did Moses had no clue what was going to happen.
Yep.
After he was like, what do you mean I don't get to go?
Yeah.
You left me with these miserable people for 40 years and I goofed up like really bad once and I don't get the prize. Yeah. You took me out of the wilderness. You took me at the burning bush and made me do things I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And now this is it. And I can see that how it would be so easy to fall into that trap. And then it's like, but you don't know as soon as you fall asleep what's going to happen.
Right.
So to me, that's maybe how it's helped me get through some of those pieces where it's like, okay, we just have to know that something good's here.
I love that example. You know, one other interesting example from the story of Moses is how, you know, right after the children of Israel are led out of Egypt, God directs them to move backward towards Egypt. And they're going, wait a second.
You what know, are we doing?
We just left there and there's a whole army of guys that are trying to come after us and bring us back. Why are you having us move back? But that led to then the need for them to be at the Red Sea and for him to part the Red Sea. And so, you know, he's looking at the bigger, longer term picture, and where we may not always understand that short term step back, he's seeing this is an opportunity for me to build your faith through this amazing miracle. And he then destroyed the army. So I love that example that we may not always understand it, what appears to be a no or a not yet. But he's got a bigger plan in mind.
Yeah.
And maybe Joseph, I love that you used his story because his is like maybe the worst because it's the it's the dreaded not yet.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no. Don't leave me hanging.
Yeah.
Give me a yes, give me a no. Give me a maybe. Give me a not sure. Like the magic eight ball. Try again later. I don't know, but not now. And then getting what was it, twice?
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, don't forget me. Tell them about me. Remind them about me. Yeah. And oh, yeah, absolutely. Of course. And you do something good for someone and you're like, I'm finally getting out of this, just this hellish life I'm living in prison. And no, not yet. Then the other part is, I think if we get to that, the final where obviously, I mean, he's set to save probably hundreds of thousands of lives. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but of his own family. He gets to see his father again.
Yeah.
They come to live with him. And you see all that transpire. And then I always feel like if I didn't have it at the beginning, do I have it now to be a good receiver of that gift? If my prayer gets answered, am I really going back to God and saying, wow.
Yeah.
I now see what you did. And like, that should just make you so crazy excited about God and love him so much that you just can't stop talking about him.
Yeah. What I love about Joseph's story too, is to your point, we don't know all the things that time in prison, those years in prison prepared him for. You know, I mentioned humility. You know, we kind of hear those strains through him telling his brothers, hey, yeah, I had this dream and you guys all bowed down to me. Like, dude, come on.
Those are good dreams, though.
Right? They are. So did that give him humility? Did it open his heart and prepare him to forgive? You know, in a way that maybe him being around some of these other prisoners and learning their stories, maybe he would never have forgiven his brothers and had that reconciliation if he hadn't been in prison. Like, I don't think we know all the things that God did in that 2-year period that wouldn't have happened otherwise.
What does his life look like even if he doesn't go that day to check on the brothers? And here comes the dreamer, here comes the coat across the meadow and then down in the pit and being sold. You know, maybe he's just a narcissist his whole life that does nothing.
Yeah.
Right? That does nothing for God. So those are the parts when you're reading the story, you're just so enveloped in the, you know, he cried all the way to Egypt and you're being sold by your brothers. Well, even though you didn't have the greatest relationship and he probably knew that, that's still like, wow, but you forget about all those other sides, those other pieces that we just don't know now, that we just don't know enough about to make it feel that way.
You know, that reminds me about Matthew 7:8, when God says, you know, ask, you know, knock and the door will be open, seek and you will find. Because we oftentimes when we pray, we're thinking about the outcome, but it's about the journey too. And I think this is what we are not thinking about. It has to be the process, thinking about the process and not expecting the ultimate result of what you are asking.
I love that because it's very interesting as you again, look back and see where God has taken you from and where he's apparently sometimes not always clearly, but where you think he's leading you. You're being humble. You're saying, I'm leadable. I'm teachable. I'm hit me upside the head with a 2x4, but so I can look in the mirror and see what the message is. I can read it and like, just let me know where we're going. Let me know what I'll do. I promise I'll do it. And it's not that easy because the lessons don't get learned that way. But you're right, to think in the journey, how can I pray for my journey instead of the destination or the outcome?
Yeah.
That's interesting because I know I'm not very good at it.
Yeah.
To pray for, I don't understand why I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, what should I hold on to?
It reminds me of that example of when others see a pit, God sees a kiln.
Yeah.
And that when something is in a kiln, it's uncomfortable. It's hot. It's, you know, but it's that transformational process that when you are in a time like that, praying that God will use that time, trying to feel peace in the uncomfort and the unknown of what's lying on the other side, God can really use that time to do powerful things.
Yeah. it's an opportunity to see that not everything is black and white.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You might change your mind in the middle of the process. Like, you started praying about this, but in the mm-hmm. middle of the journey, you know, you start getting closer to God and, oh, wait, that's not how it's supposed to be, God. Mm-hmm. As the transformation in the process.
Yeah, that's really true. I mean, I've seen it myself. And when you change your mind about something that seems pretty major, and the next time you talk to someone that who knows you really well, and they kind of look at you like, what's the matter? You just said this. Yes. And then it's like, but you've always said, and it's like, I changed my mind. Mm-hmm. And that, I don't think that happens a ton with us because mm-hmm. we're so rooted in what we've been taught, what we've learned, how we were raised. I mean, so much mm-hmm. of that, so much goes into that. But to actually stop and think about it in that format, and what it takes to change in the process, being flexible partially, but
yeah.
I don't feel like I'm very good at that either sometimes. I guess we got some of us have work to do, people.
God's got a plan.
Yeah.
God's got a plan. So you mentioned that writing your prayers has mm-hmm. been a huge blessing. Mm-hmm. So tell us more about journaling. You hear, usually we have Melanie speak for all women because she's the only one here. And I won't ask you to speak for all women. And I won't.
Thank you.
I shouldn't speak for all men. But as a man, I feel like it's, that feels kind of, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Touchy-feely, ooey-gooey, something's not right here. I don't know. And so it's always like, yeah, journaling, that sounds great. Uh-huh. Why don't you do that for a little while and let me know how it goes. And, uh-huh. and keeping with it, though, that's the other part. It's like, even if you can get to that point where you're like, that's one more thing on my list I have to do. So how do you do it, and how long have you been able to sustain it?
You know, I would say I started it when I was in one of those kiln moments in my life where I felt so compelled to be having these prayers to God, and that it was a way for me to express that and those needs. And then it just turned into a habit, and it turned into a beautiful way for me to just take that pause to be able, I would say everybody has to figure out what works for them.
Sure,
and what works for one won't work for everybody. So when I've thought about journaling before, it's like, okay, I'm going to get out my book. I'm going to get out my pen. I'm going to sit in a corner, turn on my instrumental music and write.
That's what I'm seeing in my head. And that was perfect.
That has not worked for me in a consistent way with my schedule, right? And so what started to work for me was in the morning, take out my phone, pull up my Bible app, read a book or a devotional, and then get out my notes app and start writing my prayer to God for the day. And that worked for me just in my schedule. Mm-hmm. And then what I found was I could go back and quickly read through my notes and my prayers and go, wow, he answered that. And I forgot. I prayed for that for this long and look at what he's done. Look at how I was feeling 6 months ago or a year ago, and look at where I am now. And so it was just kind of for me figuring out what worked. But again, I think also for me, it was in one of those kiln moments, and God has used that to transform my spiritual practice in a way that works for me.
Nice.
Man, that sounds like the attitude of gratitude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know that so many things in our conscious, our life, just like if we can approach things realizing all the good things mm-hmm. that God's done for us, all the good things that we have, all the good things that we can share, it really makes a difference on how you approach mm-hmm. even just your everyday. Like, like you said, get up in the morning. This is part of my routine, and it's almost a gratitude check. Mm-hmm. And I think that it can't really be overstated how much that has an effect on us mm-hmm. and how we see things, how we see others. You used in that section, Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, mm-hmm. but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, gratitude, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then you're talking about Jesus modeling that behavior and taking that time to, I've always wondered what Jesus prayed for and how he prayed. Like, how did he talk? Because I still don't really understand how you talk to yourself, because you're all three. You know, it's, you're talking to your father, but you're all three of those people. Anyway, without solving
I never thought about that.
Without solving the mysteries of the universe and God himself. But how do you, like, how did he talk? What did he, what did he say? What was important to their conversation? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, if there was anything in the Bible I wish we knew, it would be, how did Jesus spend that time? Was he contemplative? Was he, did he sometimes, like the, I don't remember what, is that in Mark where it's, even if we don't have the words, the Holy Spirit
will intercede
and petition God on our behalf. Like, maybe that was Jesus. And so as I read your manuscript last night and as I was listening this morning, it's one of those things, I don't think about it often, but a lot of times when I think, you know, the old, you know, WWJD from the 90s. But seriously, what would Jesus do in conversation with his father to figure out, and then for him to not, you know, like, what did he know? How much did he know? What did he not? You know, so all those things, but just what was that conversation like? And it makes me often wonder, I mean, he told us how to pray, obviously, but the personal one-on-one conversations, I don't know. It's something that I don't have answers to that either, but it's always intriguing to me that he did, he took so much time. It was so much of his ministry, and yet we know so little about it that.
Yeah, that is interesting to think about.
And as soon as you
pray
said
for patience, please give me patience for these people.
Is that enough?
Give me energy. Give me, you know, insight.
Because you mentioned that it's, you know, sometimes our view on prayer is like it's a one-sided conversation. Mm-hmm. We just back up the truck and hit the lever and dump. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can start my day. But the listening is the hard, to me, is the really hard part.
Yeah.
Does that kind of work for you in the writing the prayers down in that routine? Is that part of how you do it?
You know, I think I have opportunity to do more of that too. I think that, you know, when I read the Bible, when I read a devotional, I find that's where the listening part comes in for me. And then it also kind of just tees up the rest of my day to listen. But I'd love that to be something I work on too. So it doesn't always feel one-sided.
Sarah.
Yes.
No matter how many times you listen to a story, someone says it or starts a sentence in a way that you don't expect, and it just gives you a different perspective. We all know that she was age, but you said well past her body's ability to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though we've known that to be true, when you start this sentence that way, and then you follow into, what do you think people asked her? Uh-huh. And I'm like, you know, obviously you have two kids, so you've been through the pregnancy thing twice.
Yep.
And just watching as a father and a husband while your wife is pregnant, people will be like, oh, you know, first off, people will just come up and touch the belly like it's without permission, without asking.
Audience note, do not do that to pregnant women.
Please don't.
Because you might make a mistake and that's awkward.
Yeah. And, you know, you could really make somebody upset. And so completely inappropriate, or like, wow, you're huge.
Yeah.
Or the way that's got to be a boy. Look at the size of that belly. Or, you know, all these different things. And I'm thinking,
how much longer?
Oh, boy.
At some point, it turns from when are you due to how much longer do you have left?
And if you happen to be someone, depending on your body shape, one of my coworkers years ago was like, she was really showing at like 5 months. Uh-huh. And she's like, the clients were coming into the office and like, so when do you do? Mm-hmm. You getting ready? You're all ready?
Like, oh, no.
Like the nursery. And she's like, I've got four more.
It's like, oh, boy.
And then their face is like, oh.
Some. And the rest are like, oh, man, you're huge. And
you're like, oh, my goodness.
And so you're just like, what are you guys doing? So as you think about the dynamic in our society, I'm sure it was probably, I think some things don't change.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, you know, what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, when to, you know, all these things. And for how long that went on.
Yeah.
And that just made me stop and think, really, this never really thought about getting pregnancy advice. But someone who was going to be the mother of a nation. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, man, you know, I mean, are people dropping off secret elixirs at your door? You know,
I'm sure they were.
You know, are they sliding notes under the door? You know, try this or, you know, and all the things that are so awkward about that whole thing when people want to give you advice. And then when you said, I wonder what her prayers sounded like and how they changed mm-hmm. over that time, it made me think about what you're doing with writing down your prayers and being able to go back and look. And if you've ever done that and you still have them, because I've had a few places here and there, I've, you know, written some things down, different parts of my life. And you go back and you go, man, I was such a noob.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way that I prayed, the way I asked for things was so different.
Yeah.
And so I think it's also maybe part of that process is just seeing how God is moving and who mm-hmm. he's changing you into. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's some clues, there's some breadcrumbs there that might help you figure out, you know, hey, there's growth here. There's yep. that's progress, right? So yep. maybe that's a little bit of an uplifter when you talk about decades.
I think it gives you insights into what did that kiln process do for you.
Yeah.
You know, like you described, you go yeah. back and go, oh my goodness, I was asking for what? What an idiot, you know? When in the moment it was heartfelt and true.
Yeah.
And now you can look back and see, wow, God has really changed me.
Yeah.
And I think those are the things that we should be sharing mm-hmm. with those that are on a different part of their journey. Because if you can look back and say, I saw God at A, B, and C do this on the journey, when someone else hears it and they see the look in your eyes about how much it means to you, it puts a little trust. And I think it bolsters the faith a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it when you said, when his answer is no, we may never on this earth understand why, but he invites us to trust that he is all-knowing and all-powerful. And that is, it's so hard. It's so hard to do to be that person
yeah.
and to remember that, but also really good advice to, and you said, Ellen White, prayer is the answer to every problem in life. So in your final question, what is God inviting you to bring him in prayer? That's a tough one. And that's a vulnerable one mm-hmm. when you stop to think about, maybe I know.
Yeah.
Really deep down, I really know probably what he wants me to, but am I willing to?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not always willing to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm afraid of what might happen. Hmm. I'm afraid of a direction it could lead that I don't yeah. think I want. I feel like when we talk about prayer, we oftentimes kind of think of it almost like the lottery or a cosmic Santa right. Claus with the lottery going, yep, you win this time, you don't win this time. And almost afraid, and sometimes almost afraid that the answer could be yes.
Hmm.
What if I asked this and God was like, that's all I've been waiting for. Here you go. And you're like, oh, no. You know,
he really answered.
So, thank you.
So I think it's also where we feel or what we feel we can handle. And I know God obviously thinks I can handle way more than I do
mm-hmm.
because sometimes I'm like, this doesn't feel like an appropriate load, Lord, like what, yeah. like what's happening here? So I don't know. Those are all questions that, I, like you said, I don't think we'll ever have
yeah.
here. We'll ever have answers to here.
What I love about that quote. So I found it printed on a beautiful piece of paper in my office.
Really?
And I don't know where it came from.
Come on.
Wow.
But I have kept it and I keep it on my desk and I look at it several times a week because it just speaks so much to me. And that's one of the reasons, honestly, that I chose this topic of prayer is that quote has meant so much to me. And I think that you know, and asking what is God inviting you to bring to Him in prayer, I think that quote highlights a number of reasons why we may be holding back. Whether it's, oh, we think it's too small. God doesn't care, you know, doesn't want me to ask Him about that.
Of course not.
Or that's been a not yet for so long that, you know, like Sarah, I'm not asking about that anymore because it hurts to ask, continue asking for it.
Yeah, it does.
Or maybe we think it's too big or it's too wild of a dream or it's impossible. Like I feel like that quote touches on so many reasons why we might not bring things to Him when He wants us to, you know. Even if the answer is no, He wants us to bring it to Him and to have that channel of communication.
It's like your best friend, like you mentioned, having that conversation, Him wanting, it changes the dynamic when you realize He really wants to have that communication. He wants that relationship. And how many times have we sat with besties and just like around the fire or in the living room, just hanging out? And you ask the same questions, you tell the same stories that you've always done. And if something still hasn't come to fruition for whatever reason, you still talk to them about it and you complain about it.
Right.
I still don't know why this doesn't, like this hasn't happened, or I don't know why I, you know, so-and-so won't just get on board with what we, you know, whatever that is. And we'll do it that way. Mm-hmm. Why are those so hard? Do we feel like God is judging us if we keep asking? Like, look, I haven't told you no yet. So I feel like if it's a no, but not yet feels like no.
Yeah.
It just does.
Yep.
Not yet just feels like, nah.
I think that's one of the hardest ones in some ways. Maybe that's because I'm not a very patient person.
Yes, non-patient people unite.
And we live in a world that everything is so fast. We want everything to be on a click.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, the book, Practicing the Way, hurry is the greatest enemy of spiritual formation.
It's so uncomfortable, I think, in our, just the, in the, where we live, the moment in time that we live in.
I agree.
Yeah. Amanda, thank you for taking time between services on a special Saturday edition. I know that the weeks get so busy. And so thank you for just taking the time to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We really enjoy when we can. We try not to miss anyone. If you preach here, we want to get you on the podcast so people get to know you a little bit and just dig a little bit deeper and hear your heart for the message. Yeah. And we really did that today. And so I think when people are catching up with the message and if you haven't, and if you're just a podcast listener only, we do invite you as always, wholelife.church. And on the front page, you'll see Amanda's message. And if you're listening to this in 2030, please, Jesus, come before then. But go to the media library.
Patience. Slow leaving, Randy.
Lucas. You can still find that episode 469 if you happen to be watching. So please go back and check out the media library if you haven't, and make sure that you check the message. Because I think that even if we didn't answer any questions for you specifically, I hope that we at least touched on a little bit deeper into this topic and gave you a little hope that God does hear us and He loves you and we love you. And so the one thing that I did want to mention here on the podcast, and I know that last week we made the announcement about Jeff. And if you go to wholelife.church/Jeff, that's where everything is going to be updated. And of course, you know, we do it here. It's on social. It goes in the newsletter, special editions, whatever we have to do to make sure that you're up to date with the latest. But his memorial service will be on August the 1st at 7 p.m. at the Bear Lake Clubhouse. And so there's going to be more details as that date gets closer. But here, I will put a link to that in the show notes and on our Discord channel. If you don't swipe up in today's show notes, you'll also have a chance. You can just join our Discord channel. We post pictures and other things with you there, but we'll also make sure that that information is getting out. And the one part of this also that I want to make sure that we relay to y'all as those that may be local is right now, Tammy and the family just need their privacy to grieve. And so we're just asking that while we know it's We want to do it too. Trust me. Mm-hmm. Trust me. We want to go and visit. We want to talk. We want to hug. We want to try to help make better. But right now we're just asking that nobody, please, please don't go and visit at the house. It's something we asked earlier this week on multiple channels. I just want to make sure that everyone here gets the same message, and just know that they cherish your prayers. And also there'll be information. Please don't send flowers. In lieu of flowers, we have set up the Jeff Cinquemani. It's the
counseling center.
It's for the counseling. It's a counseling center fund, and that is going to help fund for those that can't afford counseling that need it. And as we bring the counseling center online here on campus over the next months, anything that's donated there is going to help towards that cause and make it available for people that just can't afford it, that they can get the counseling that they need. So all of that will be in the show notes and in Discord. So please check that out. Guys, thank you for everything. The outpouring of love this week has been something that is I've never seen in the amount in the personal texts and calls. So just know, as a staff, we love you and we appreciate all your support. So thank you for listening and have a great week.